Amen. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for being so welcome. You sent some people to Bhutan and the Himalayas as well, so I think all four of you might be here. Yeah, at least some of you are, but you guys have had a big part in our lives in many ways without knowing it, probably, but obviously journeying with Sam, too. I always tell him it's amazing. I know where Sam has been because in many ways, he's got a grace on him and a strength on him that the culture changes around him. And I've always as well respected that. So it's just a gift to be able to be here and to step into what God's doing here. You know, we were praying in the back. They were praying for me and just interceding for the service. And I see little pictures sometimes, but this for me was indicative for me what the Lord would want to do tonight in my life, in your life. But I saw a big door, and it just swung wide open. And then I just saw the word and heard the word, all are welcome. All are welcome. And even as we were singing this song about welcoming God, honestly, I really felt like He was welcoming us and that He was singing the song to us. We sing it to Him. But in these simple words, I welcome you with love, I welcome you with grace, I welcome you with hope, I'm coming to fill this place. And I could just, even if you guys would sing that, and I'm not going to attempt to sing it, maybe I'll have Sam come sing it. Maybe not, bro. I've been around you. We're not singers, honestly. Me and Sam are not singers. But I don't want to ruin the atmosphere, too, but we have a lot of history together, so I think that's the word tonight. You are welcome, no matter how bad yesterday was, no matter what failure, what struggle, what stress, whether you feel you've underperformed, whatever happened this last year, there's a big door. And when that door opens and you step across the threshold of that door and just believe that you are still welcome, because I know there's a lot of pressure. You know, my vocation is the ministry vocation, a lot of pressure. You know, sometimes I don't like the word pastor or Dr. Bonnert or whatever because the pressure on that to have to perform and succeed and be all together when I know I'm not. But God welcomes us. He welcomes us based on what's behind me. We're always welcome. And often, He's the one running to us. And one story that jumped out at me, and really, this was at a point when I thought, I don't know if I want to do this mission thing anymore. I was a Southern Cal guy, and I thought, you know, roaming around, feeling like a salesman, trying to pitch my vision, pitch my heart. We're in a different church and miles and miles and miles of driving. I thought, do I want to really do all? Is this really worth it to go live in the Philippines? But there was a text I started reflecting on, and it was the text about Elijah. And you know Elijah had the phenomenal victory, so zealous and energetic and performing and serving the Lord at one time, where he had this phenomenal victory where the whole nation in many ways turned back to God because of an act of faith, which involved an act of violence too, right, against the enemy. And all those prophets were killed, and then suddenly he hears a word when he's exhausted. And remember, in that moment, he had to have been exhausted physically because all the work he did, all the travel he did, and honestly, all the energy he expounded in ending the lives of the evil prophets. Huge deal. And that must have been emotionally draining, which just wore him out. Because literally, I mean, you got to know that if you're involved in taking someone's life, even if it was that is huge. And that was a God purpose in the Old Testament, which is tricky to understand, to be honest. Real tricky to understand that. But that's the way God sees evil, because it's so destructive and so contaminating to our lives and our souls that God wants to eradicate it. Because he doesn't even want to have it be able to live around us because it's so contaminating And it so takes his kids away and takes you and me off of course. So, but Elijah did that. He's so wiped out. He saw the miracle of the rain returning and all this stuff going on. And then he hears that Jezebel wants to kill him. And that word just kind of got in there when he's open, vulnerable. He's wiped out. And then suddenly that word, after this great victory, makes no sense. Unless you understand the spiritual, emotional, physical dynamics of a human being, that we're just worn out. And then that threat, when God just came down with fire, he just demonstrated something so awesome, and then Elijah's like, I'm done. I'm so upset, I'm depressed. He said, I just want to die. I feel alone. I'm finished. And that's literally the way he felt. But notice, God came to him. God knows where you are. And what's so cool is he comes to us. No matter where we are, no matter how we've performed. And you know, I'll never forget something a counselor said. My oldest lives in California. She's a senior at Vanguard University. And I'll never forget something, because she was back and forth with the different countries, losing her friends, going through a lot of stuff as a so-called missionary kid, you know, a cross-cultural kid. And I'll never forget what this counselor said to us. We were at a missionary renewal place, and she said, you know what, your daughter's having a rough time adjusting. And basically, this is what she's screaming out. She wants to know that if she doesn't perform for you, will you still love her? If she doesn't perform, will you still love her? And I never forgot that. My daughter also said to me one time, and I was very moved by this, but she just simply said, as she was talking about her friends and going to California and wondering, will she be liked? Will she be smart enough? Will she be pretty enough? Will she be wanted by somebody? And she said, Dad, she said it with tears. She said, Dad, all I want is to be wanted. All I want is to be wanted. And this sense that you are wanted, you are pursued, you are welcome, you are welcome. That, I believe, is what God is saying. And again, this could be a song. I welcome you with love. I welcome you with grace. I welcome you in hope. I'm coming to fill this place. That's the heart of God. So you know what happened in Elijah's day, right? God sends the angel. He knows he's wiped out. And Elijah feels I'm the only one left, even though there were 7,000 others or whatever. There were a lot of others. He wasn't alone, but life felt alone. And when you're under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, no matter what vocation you're in, and some are more intense than others, but we all have our limits, right? And sometimes we hit that. Even with our faith, we journey along, and it is a journey. It's not a moment. It is a journey. And sometimes in that journey, we break down. And we want to stop. But the angel of the Lord came, and notice what he does for Elijah. In that story, he feeds him. He says, sleep. He sleeps, he feeds him. God is concerned about your physical rest. You and I need physical rest. Sometimes the most godly thing you and I can do is sleep. Honestly, just sleep. Listen to some good music or go to a game. Something. We are uniquely designed by God, and to have all those areas touched. And God feeds him. God lets him sleep. He sends the angel, but he reaches out to him. And then what does he do? Because Elijah's so anxious, he wants to give up. He brings him to the mountain of God, gives him energy just to get to the place where God shows up in that day. The mountain of God. I mean, that's pretty cool. You need me, and I know you can't see it now. I know you want to give up, but I'm going to give you the strength, the energy, and I'm going to help you get to the place where I show up. And so what does he do? He makes it there. God helped him get there, and God's going to help you get, and that's what we believe for this time, that God, he desires to meet with us. He welcomes us. And he's going to help you and I get to the place where we can meet with God, encounter God, hear God again. But what's so fascinating in this passage is the one that I didn't learn this in a book. I just reflected and prayed and thought, and because it was me. I was, in a sense, nowhere near feeling like I'm great like an Elijah. I'm just simple. But I really felt like, man, enough is enough. And that passage really awakened me. Because he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? In other words, Elijah, I sent you that way to go confront the enemy and to go confront the Jezebel situation. But you ended up in your stress, in your anxiety, you went that way. He says, what are you doing here? You know, the question was. And the Elijah goes into this thing about all this. And you can hear in that passage, and that's not the one I wanted to look at tonight, but he's so anxious. God, this and this and this happened, and I'm the only one left. And you know that. And then what happens? After he gives this, and you can almost in the text see a before and an after picture. And I'm hopeful that for me, for you, there will be a before the state of life you and I are in tonight from whatever's going on. And you know what? If you're in a good place tonight, then this is a night to say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. It's a time to remember. It's not because you performed to be in a good place. It's because God has been good to you and you're in that season. But if you're in a stressed place, an underperforming place, a difficult place, this is a time to say, okay, God's going to help me get where he wants me to be. He wants to meet with me. He wants to restore me. He wants to refresh me. And so Elijah says all that, and then what does God do? Earthquake. Fire. All this stuff happens. These incredible natural disasters, and it says that God was not in them. But Elijah, they were awesome displays of nature. And so Elijah's in this cave, and all this stuff is going on, and it says, and the Lord was not in them. And then it said that when Elijah, the whisper came, and Elijah knew what that was. And he pulled himself out there, and he got close to hear the whisper of the Lord. And that's when God spoke personally to Elijah. And God knows every battle you're in, whether you've lost, you've won. He knows your job. He knows your name. He knows your relational dynamics. He knows, and yet, and this was what's so amazing, he actually cares. You are one of 6 point whatever billion. And the God of heaven cares. He cares. And he knows. And he seeks you out. So we think we're going to go seek him. No, he welcomes you and he's seeking you. That is awesome. And so what happens in that story after Elijah hears the voice? The same question comes. And I encourage you to read the story in Kings if you can. It's just phenomenal. The same question, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Now, the second time the question comes, same question. I imagine that Elijah in that moment is probably like, I just saw all these phenomenal displays of power. Believe me, he's not thinking about Jezebel in that moment. Jezebel now is not in his mind because she is nothing. Her threat of ending his life is now nothing because perspective returned. Yeah, what am I doing here? Why did I run the opposite way? Because you're the God of heaven and you're with me. And then what does God say? Go back the way you came. Go back the way you came. So Elijah returns to the journey that God had set him on. So my belief, my goal, my desire, there's a big door. I believe it. All are welcome. It is an issue of coming through this wooden door of the cross. And God's going to meet us personally. And he's going to help adjust our perspective so that we can continue on the journey, no matter what our vocation is, so that we can continue on the journey that God has put your feet on that path for. Can you say amen to that? Can we take a moment and pray that that will be realized, and just acknowledge that that's what he wants to do in your heart and life? And please see the grace of God bigger than no matter how you've performed this week, this month, this year, or the last few years. See that it is bigger. You are wanted, whether you can hear that real well or not. You are wanted, and he welcomes you, and he's coming to meet you. God, thank you for this time. We dedicate this time to you. We turn to you. We pray that you will speak to us. We thank you. You will speak to us. I thank you that you know every name. You know every heart. You know every bit of our performing, either over or under, overachieving or underachieving or whatever is going on. You know our failures. You know our dreams. You know our hopes. You know our fears. You know what's happening at work, oh God. You know what's going on in relational lives that we have. You know the people that have hurt us or the people that are hurting that we're worried about. You know those anxieties that are in our hearts. But we set them aside to come and hear that still small voice. We come because we need you, God. We want you. We hear tonight that you said, I'm welcome no matter what's going on. I'm welcome. And so I enter through that door. I see that big door. And I see God gently just saying, come on, join me. And he's inviting you to cross the threshold of that doorway. And I see across that threshold, I see a lot of light, a lot of sunshine, a lot of light. I see his glory, his goodness. And when you and I step into that, our problems, our fears and anxieties will melt away, because what are they in light of the glory of God? Lord, we receive that. We believe that. We just ask you to give us courage and grace to step into that and rest in you. And we say thank you, Lord. Everyone just say thank you, Lord. Just thank him. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The text I want to glance at is in Exodus 32 and following. And I've never really preached this. In fact, I wasn't even thinking about this text until today. And I don't even think I've really preached this theme either in a long, long time, or certainly not with the journey and the text that I've been on. And part of the reason is I wrote like a 30-some page paper in this area one time, but I never preached it, but I learned. And it was just brought to my mind in light of tonight. And I do believe God wants to speak to us through that. But chapter 32 is really the starting point. And I really want to move us or lead us toward the end of the text, which really enters into that great moment where Moses encounters the glory of God. And so I want to talk about that. But the beginning of the text is really, really enlightening, and it's in chapter 32, the golden calf. And verse 1, I won't read it all, but it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. And so then, you know, the whole story, if you read it later, it's quite interesting. But they give a bunch of gold, they give their wealth, and then Aaron creates a golden calf. And then they bow and worship. And what's really interesting, first of all, I know your theme is the way, but they were on the way into a new lifestyle. And you and I are on this journey, and Sam said, I've known him his whole Christian life. And what's unique about Sam and I is we both went to Vanguard, the Christian school, really for sports. We both weren't walking with the Lord, didn't know the Lord. We knew about the Lord, though, because our parents were at times pushing that on us. But we both found the Lord through the school. I think you found the Lord through a mission trip, right? What a missionary, right? Send the heathen on a mission trip, and his life has changed. Anyway, amazing. And I too was really impacted because I met some really solid believers. I met some weird ones too. I met some who were always wanting to hug you and say Jesus loves you. And that really freaked me out. I mean, really, that was really, I'd see that dude, and he was like a mushy dude. And I'd see that guy, and I'd be like, oh man, I'm going this way. But it was just really quite a journey. But I met some authentic people who, they were different. They had something about them that I was like, wow, I want that peace, that, like the Beatitude stuff. They had something going on. It wasn't just a book. It wasn't just words. It wasn't just songs. It was them. There was something different. And so somehow I crossed over by the grace of God. He made me hungry. He made me ready. And, you know, some years later, me and Sam end up leading that community in some ways. And what a gift that God would give us that chance. But this way that God's called us to is really a new way of doing life. And no matter when you came into the way, it's a lifelong process of learning to do life differently. And oftentimes, some people look at this text of the golden calf and they think, what a bunch of fools. How could they do that? How could they turn away after this phenomenal Red Sea thing, and they're having miracles, and they're on this journey, and then they want to make an idol when the God of heaven had just done so much for them? It just makes no sense, and honestly, sometimes we're not very gracious with these people, but you know what? We really don't have a clue what they were going through. But they were transitioning from a life as slaves, a life with a certain mindset, a life growing up among the gods, among the calf. And they're starting out on this journey, and on that journey, you and I are going to have real moments of anxiety, real moments of stepping backward, real moments of wondering what is going on. When something happens that doesn't fit your faith motif, or your thought of the way it should be, something just happens, you and I can spin out. When leaders fail, well, leaders are human, or when tragedy strikes. I mean, there was a missionary in India, you know, his son got, he had an open cut, and a dog came up and licked his cut. Well, the dog had rabies. And the missionary kids, he died. And, you know, I've got my son. Sorry, son. It's not a good story, right? I mean, my son's sitting there looking at me. But you think about that stuff. And you're just like, what is up with that, God? You know, really, and you've all probably had those moments that, wow, that doesn't fit. That doesn't seem right. And then there's this kind of confusion and this anxiety. And in those moments of anxiety, because we're learning a new way to do life, how do we respond? Well, for these people, they were learning how to do life differently, and suddenly the leader who was identified with this God of heaven that they've never seen and they're terrified of because he's so awesome and powerful and he wipes out the Egyptians and they're starting to think and he's holy and they really didn't know him as personally. They knew him through Moses, and now Moses is gone. And here's the deal. The reason they can turn to the golden calf is because in times of anxiety and stress, when we're learning a new way to do life, what do? We usually revert back to what we're comfortable with and what we grew up with. And if you and I are learning to do life in a God way, in a healthy way, which is synonymous with God's way, we're learning a new path. We're learning we've got to adjust things, but we still carry with us the patterns of how we used to do life as a big man in charge, or the woman in charge, or the ones under our family leadership. We're used to doing life a certain way, and we're journeying on this path away from that, but then suddenly something happens in our faith, and we think, whoa, and we don't even identify it as, oh, I'm anxious, so we cling back to what was comfortable to us. We all deal with our needs and anxieties in unique ways. How do you deal with yours? And here's what somebody said, and I'm not here to hammer on sin, but I'm really here to point out that we all have ways that we deal with life and we meet our needs. Somebody said, and I like this definition, though there's many ways to talk about it, but they said, sin is really meeting legitimate needs through illegitimate means. There's real needs, because you were designed as a human being with real needs. And when we have these needs, we have learned to deal with these needs through different ways. And some of those ways are illegitimate or broken ways to do life. And they're not fruitful in the end, although they give a semblance of meeting those needs. So these guys are anxious. They're worried. They're now alone, even away from their slave masters who met their needs. Not kindly. But at least they felt secure and they knew their place as a slave. And they had food, although it probably wasn't the best food. And now suddenly Moses takes them out, wipes that out. And then there they are, like, oh, whoa. And on your journey on the way, you're going to have those points of confusion where we're in the transition of life. And guess what? Our whole lives is a transition of learning God's way, but one day there's going to be no more sin, sorrow, sickness. We're going to be released from that. But right now, we're on the way. And you and I still have some stuff to learn. And so here's the deal. This is important. Self-reflection is real important. How do you deal with your anxieties? You know, some of us, when we're anxious, and we wouldn't usually say this, but some of us, we got to eat something. Right? Even if you're not hungry physically, we're hungry emotionally, and somehow we got duped into thinking, well, I'll feed it because it releases certain chemicals. And literally, we feed our emotions. And that is not the healthy path. It's a healthy path to feed the body because the body needs food, but the illegitimate use of food, trying to meet emotional, spiritual needs with physical food, would be a not healthy way to do it. And so what you and I are in the process of doing is, okay, recognizing my needs and saying, okay, what's God's way to meet this? What's the way to meet this? Well, God made me first for Him. Connecting with Him, being intimate with Him. But God also made me relational. You know what? Rather, because I'm overwhelmed and anxious, yeah, I turn to the Lord because be not anxious, the Lord is near, so I can turn to Him, give my anxieties to Him rather than to the refrigerator, right? Or He also made me relational so I can tell a friend and say, you know what? I'm having a rough time at work. Can you pray with me? Or here's what's going on. Just to be known. There are healthy, godly ways to deal with life, but you and I sometimes get hung up in unhealthy ways and ways that we used to cope with life that kind of met the need but never was fruitful in the end, and we turn to the golden calf, the thing we grew up with, the pattern we developed. And we all deal with life differently. Some people, when they're overwhelmed and anxious, they shut down, get depressed, and zone out on TV and too much TV. Right? Or just got to watch 4 or 5 movies in a row. Because I don't want to get up, I can't move, I'm depressed, I'm down. For me, entertainment's a tricky deal. Rather than turning to God and sharing my anxieties with others and then watching a short show, because what's wrong with that is, you know, to appreciate. But if it gets illegitimate, it gets out of line, then I'm not going to grow through the issue. I'm never going to really meet the need. So entertainment's a big deal. The food issue's a big deal. Sexuality stuff's a big deal. That you just got to be with someone. You just got to, because life's too scary and broken alone. So What are your calves? What are those areas that you wrestle with? What is the way, the old way that you're moving out of into God's way? And then being in teaching to learn, what is the healthy way to live life? This was the process. And we've all got those things. And the tragedy of these things, one, is they so minimize the way life was designed. A calf being God? Or just think of this, a relationship with somebody that you've gotta have to have that person? That they suddenly are your all in all and they just, your life is broken without them. But it's real, isn't it? Because we feel so alone sometimes. And God wants to grow us away from this, but it's good to identify the calves. And what happens in this story, and you would know it if you've read it, it's a great story. And the story really ends with phenomenal hope. And really, that's what tonight is. He's welcoming us tonight. He is not mad at us. He is not. You know, Elijah was so overwhelmed and depressed, he just shut down. He said, I'm done. You know, when my wife gets overwhelmed, she is a doer. I'm telling you, we're so opposite. I'll shut down and check out. My son can tell you that. I'm very simple. But my wife will go do something. And she gets so busy. And it's almost like she creates work she didn't need to do. We hired a painter, but it wasn't done the right way. So what's she doing? She's painting. And she's so busy. But am I painting? No, I'm watching a movie. Sorry, no, that's true. But she gets busy. I shut down. We have different calves. We have different ways we grew up. Different things that are familiar with us in how we deal with our anxieties and our needs. You have needs. There's a healthy way to meet those needs through a God-centered life, and there's an unhealthy way to do it. If you choose the unhealthy calf path, the needs don't get met, and the fruit of that is not healthy in the end. So what happens in this story is they really turned away to the pagan way of doing life. It wasn't just a golden calf, but it was a drunken party where they were with each other physically in many ways. So this whole thing's just out of control because Moses was gone. And notice, this was right at the moment where God's literally going to reveal the Ten Commandments that define the new way of life. That defined the design, the 10 values, the 10 commandments, which really point to 10 values, because every commandment has a value, a way to do life behind it, that this is the right way, the healthy way, the way that works. And if you violate these, that's a broken path. It's not fruitful. And so he's about to unveil all this, and Moses comes down, and suddenly he sees all of this. They had reverted back, and Moses confronts it. But there was a door of opportunity. In the story, there was a chance to repent. In the end, it would have been no problem. Everyone had the chance to lay down the idol and side with Moses and Aaron. And Aaron chose that. Even though, think about this. Aaron helped make the calf. You know, what a leader, right? Yeah, okay. He was anxious because Moses is gone too. Okay, I'll be a people. I better do this because he was feared them, right? And Aaron steps over with Moses. You're right, Moses. I was wrong. You know, and he didn't really do too well in being responsible. He said, you know, we threw this gold in and boom, this calf came out, right? I mean, when you read the story, it's kind of comical because he's like, I don't know, it just came out. And isn't that us though? I don't know. And that's Paul's struggle on his journey in Romans 7. You know, some think that was before Christ's day. It's almost as if suddenly Paul is perfect. He's a new creation in Christ, of course, but Paul is talking, man, the things I want to do, I can't seem to do, and the things I don't want to do, I keep on doing. He's talking about this wrestle on the way to adjust from an old way of doing life to a new way of doing life. He says, who's going to save me from this body of death? I'm struggling so much. And he says, thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ, that there's hope. And so Moses gives this open door at the moment. Hey, what are you guys doing? He's mad because God's holiness had been violated. But you know what? Honestly, it's more than God's holiness being violated. When my kids blow it, I'm not worried that my holiness is violated. I'm more worried that my kids are going to be broken. You know, and I know there's something to shame and honor in all of that. Yeah, okay. But you know what? I'm still always going to side with even if they were prodigals. I'm still going to run out there. I'm going to run like crazy if I see them turning and coming home. And I'm also, as a parent, going to give them the freedom to be them within reason at the right time to say, hey, I can't control who you are. I want you to do this, but you have a choice as a young adult now. But I'm going to run to them. But I'm not as worried that my holiness, although that's a valid theme as well. But he comes down and he's like, oh, this way of life doesn't work. He's offended, of course, but he's also hurt and he fears for them. So he says, here's the open door. Step across. Come in. And some of them did, and the others, and this is the tragic side of the Old Testament, they lost their lives. And here's the thing. Here's where I would bring a simple application. The paths of the golden calf, the paths of illegitimate ways of living to meet real needs in me, the path of that, it never meets the need in the end, and it ends in brokenness, death. It just doesn't work. But you and I are so much as human beings. And here's what he says in the text. He says, you have a propensity. He says in verse 22, he just says, you know how prone these people are to evil. Well, that is the broken sense or bent from this fallen world that we grew up under, that there's just this thing. And that's why we go to church. We don't go because it's a law. We come because I need to be around the presence and around people who are going to move me toward the things of God, because in myself alone, I am prone to make poor choices. One is overpowered, Ecclesiastes says. That's coming from a guy who lived an overpowered life, and he was the king, King Solomon. This is important. It ends in death. The wages of sin, in the end, the broken way that you and I choose to do life brings death and brokenness. It doesn't bring fruit. And unfortunately for them, a number of them died. But those who saw the opportunity and were like, oh, you're right, and they humbly came and said, no, I'll be with you, Moses. They stepped through an open door, and they became the new nation with the definings of God, the commandments of God, the character of God that could now begin to be drilled into their hearts and minds as they journeyed with Moses and then with Joshua, and they continued on. Folks, we get knocked off the journey. We bow before the calf. We feel horrible about it. But sometimes when we do, we feel so guilty and ashamed that we kind of wander away. And we're kind of like Zacchaeus. We want to be around the Lord, but we don't feel good enough. So we look at him from a tree and think, because I'm a tax collector, he wouldn't want to be with me. Well, what does Jesus do? Jesus walks along. He's actually looking for you and me. Zacchaeus. See, he knows your name. Zacchaeus, you come down. Everyone else is shocked. Why is he choosing that little man? The dude that ripped me off. He says, you come down, I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus can't believe it because it makes no sense. The prodigal, he's thinking, what am I going to tell my father? I've so shamed the family. I've shamed him. I've underperformed. I've spent all of his money. I am a wreck. I stink. I ate pig's food. Well, when I could get some, and I'll just tell him, okay, I've sinned, and maybe he'll let me be a servant. I mean, think about that. And he's wandering home thinking through, what am I going to say? And before he knows it, there's an old guy running toward him. He's like, that cannot be. Oh, what am I going to do? It's him. Oh, no. And then he can't believe it, but the old man just grabs him. And he hugs him, and I imagine he wept. My son, get the robe. There wasn't even time for him to give his speech of sorrow. It was, of course you're my son. Get his ring. You are welcome. You are wanted. I love the statement, and I was meditating, because for me, growing up with no dad, never knew him, never met him, there's a sense that not wanted. Second class. The welfare kid, you know, in my country, we have welfare. The welfare kid, the kid who has to be sponsored by the neighbor because he has no money to join basketball. And there's this thing, am I really in? Am I? And there's a verse in John 17, and Jesus says, I want those you've given me to be with me. He wants you. There's nothing connected to performance. There is an open door. There was an open door in this text. They stepped across, and when that door closed, death was behind them. But everybody had the chance. We all deal with the calves. We're all learning a new way of life. This weekend has nothing to do with how you performed. This weekend is our opportunity, mine included, to be with him because he wants to be with me. The text goes on, and I'll move toward a close. But it is a phenomenal thing when Moses then intercedes. He talks about their sin at the end of the chapter 32, and then we've got chapter 33. And verse 1, if you want to glance at it, he says, then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised. And now, here's a cool thing. Okay, this whole thing happened, this craziness. Leave this place. Leave. Maybe he's just saying that to us. Leave the craziness. Let's go to China. Let's leave this place. And that's what's so awesome with this is, what other faith do you have that? Because, you know, and I work a lot in Buddhist context, and it's about merit. You're going to get what you deserve no matter what. It's coming. It's a machine. There's no way out of that. But through this, you can leave this place and go to the life I showed you. The promised life, the new life, the God-centered life, the healthy way to do life, which is godly, it's relational, which brings intimacy and fullness, and it's also a life with a sense of cause that's bigger than just making money or getting more for me and mine. But it also is about touching lives with a meaningful cause through whatever vocation I have. It's bigger than just living, having kids, and dying. He gives us this new life. And so Moses says that, leave this place and go to the land I'll show you. I'll give it to your descendants. I'll send an angel before you, and then the whole, I'll drive these things out, these people, Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I won't go with you, he says, because he's so holy. And see, even that is an act of the compassion, because he knows he is so holy, he's so fiery, and he chooses to respond to sin. He says, but because I might get mad because you guys are a bit stiff-necked. We're stiff-necked sometimes, aren't we? At least in our golden calf ways of life. You and I don't want to give certain things up. And honestly, we need the help of God to give those things up, because we've been hanging around the calf a long time. That's how we've done life. But this is our opportunity to a new land with milk and honey, sustenance, fulfillment, meaning, and hope. And then Moses goes on, and as you head toward the end of the chapter, and this is where I want to zero in and finish up, in verse 12, Moses says to the Lord, and here's where he intercedes, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you'll send with me," because God said, "I'm not going to go with you anymore, because I might wipe you out. You've said, 'I know you by name, and you found favor with me. If I found favor in your eyes, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you.' Remember that this nation is your people." This whole intercession is really huge. Moses is a type of Jesus who's ever interceding for you and I. Jesus is linking the holiness of God with the marketplace of man through this. And that is always on your behalf, because we are stiff-necked and we turn away and we struggle. But there's always this sense of grace. And then it goes on, and this is really cool. He says, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you.'" Because Moses talked to him, he's like, "I'll go with you. You're right. You're my people." And this voice of Moses, it just touches God's heart. And then he goes on, he says, "Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else distinguishes me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?'" It is the presence of God. It's not your performance. It's not your righteous rules. It's not your slogan on the wall out there. It's not the cool songs. It's that there's some tangible sense of the goodness of God, which when the goodness of God is there, there's this sense of mercy. There's this sense of humility and poor in spirit. There's this sense of just this genuine, pure heart. This whole different way to do life. That he comes and he meets with you and he enters you and he begins to change you. We're changed, as the song says, in the presence of a holy, a different God. We're different. And Moses is saying, "We got to have your presence." And what's so cool is that's exactly what God is happy. He's happy to do. And the Lord says this. He says, "I will do the very thing you've asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." He will come to you. He absolutely wants to meet you and talk to you, no matter how you've performed, no matter what's gone on or is going on, no matter what's in our life, he really wants you. What's so cool, the Elijah story, and again, this blessed me. The people of God had lost their way. And leadership is so helpful. Good leadership that steers us toward the right sense of God's presence and his person is so important. Well, obviously, the people of God lost their way under some errant kings. And they don't even know who God is anymore. Is it the Baals and the Ashtaroths? Is it these high priests that do this different stuff? And so Elijah confronts them and says, "Let's find out who the real God is." And what's so amazing about that story is there was a drought, and the drought came. And see, here's what happens when you and I turn to the golden calf. It's drought time, friends, because those ways of life do not work. And it will eventually slowly squeeze us, choke us until you and I just finally, you're right, that doesn't work. I'm done. And until we've had enough of it, we probably aren't done. That's what's scary. Is because sometimes it costs us everything on that path. And so what happens is they lose their way, and he says, we're going to find out who the real God is. And so he calls all the prophets, and you know the story as well, perhaps. And he says, you guys go first. Call on your gods. See, and the God who answers by fire. And here's the deal. There was a sacrifice of atonement that was put in the middle. And basically the sacrifice in this day, the sacrifice was a statement. God, do you really still accept us? Because there had to be atonement, something paid that brought justice, that covered the people and represented them, that basically made them presentable before God. But he said, whichever God answers by fire, that's the true God. And basically the altar, and it was dumped water on, precious water, which represents the people. These people are an unburnable lost people. They don't even know what's up anymore. And they were the church. They were the nation of God. But they're just clueless. And so here you have this picture of this unburnable people, this lost people, this unburnable offering, and these gods that they had trusted in, nothing happened. And that's the thing about our golden calves and our addictions. When we really need something, they're not there. Those people that we needed so bad. The prodigal son learned that. When his money's gone, his love's gone. When those things we trust in, we really need something, we always come up short. They do not deliver in the end. I just wish we could learn that in here, right? We know it in here, but learning it in here is a tricky journey. It's a journey. And so they don't show up, nothing happens. And the moment Elijah steps up there, says, oh God, you're turning your people back. And basically, the moment he prays, instantly, almost as if a statement, God, do you still want us? Do you still accept us? We're unburnable. We've lost our way. We've blown it. We've turned to the golden, whatever you want to say. Do you still want us? Instantly, such fire came down from heaven. And the fire is a statement of, yes, I accept you. I want you. Boom, it consumes the whole thing. And it's like God's turning his people back again. Does God want to meet with us in China or here? Yes. Does God want to meet with you? Yes, it's not based on your... He wants to come and meet with you. He is singing, I welcome you. I welcome you with love. I welcome you with grace. I welcome you in hope. I'm going to come and fill this place. That's his heart. That's who he is. He's a dad. I want to be with my son. He wants to be with you. And the cool thing in this text, and here we head to the end. Moses says, after God says, I'll do the very thing you've asked. Moses said, now show me your glory. And this text, often we've preached this text as if, I just want his glory. But Moses knew what he was saying. And this is something I learned from reading different people and reflecting on and studying it. Basically, when God would confirm a covenant, his glory would come down. So Moses is clearly saying, God, do we have this covenant? Are you really into this deal we're making? And God confirms his covenant by his glory. And then God responds, and this is an awesome part of the text. He says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name. Now get this. He says, I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy. This is all tied to his name. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you can't see my face, for no one may see me and live. But the text, this, now get this, this is the first time in all of Scripture that God calls himself the God of mercy. The first time that God shows up and he says, you know what, this is who I am. I'm merciful. I want you. Here's the thing we learn from that. Your need, whether it's brokenness, whether it's sickness, whether it's division, whatever, your need is an opportunity for God to show up and reveal a facet of who he is in your life. Your need, your brokenness, your failure is not the end. It's not the defining moment of you. The defining moment of you is when the God who meets all needs according to his riches and glory comes down and reveals himself in your context. He is the God of mercy. Why is he the God of mercy that day? Because that's what they needed. We blew it. We lost our way. We're unforgivable. They did the audacious things. But God said, I still want you. Think of that. You're one of 6 billion plus. But he wants you. What is your need today? It's nothing more than an opportunity for God to come and show himself in your life. Of course, the text points out that his glory passes by and he confirms his covenant that he's indeed with you. He's indeed with you. That's going to happen. I can't bring it, but that's who he is. Can we stand to our feet as we wrap this time up in hope? I saw that open door. And I know it was for more than just me. One thing I was always excited, you get lonely sometimes in other countries, and you know, I thought, I get to go be around a cool church where the presence is. What an opportunity. We all have the same opportunity. We all got idols because we're on the way. Learning a new way to do life with our anxieties. So now we see this open door, this line to step across the threshold of the door. And we leave those things outside. We're going to leave this place. What do you need to leave? What are the ways you're doing life that you know these are illegitimate ways of doing life? They don't work, but I'm stuck. Paul had the same deal. He said, thanks be to God. That's the door. Here's what I would encourage us to do, and it's always an invitation. It is for you and I to reflect for just a moment, what do I need to leave? Most of us instantly it would jump to our mind. It could even be a person. It be a behavior. And usually, here's the deal. We can't make it alone. So oftentimes when the power's released, it's released because we told someone. Someone we trust only. It's my calf, my way of doing life. And some of your friends may already know that. and you feel like you're beating the same old drum, and you feel bad because you never change, but it's okay. God knows. You're in the human race. But we keep beating that drum. And we say, again, I need help. I'm leaving this stuff outside. I'm walking through the open door. And I'm going to stand in the glory. And whether I feel it or not, or see a bright light or not, I'm crossing over because that's what the Word says. And I'm going to take and make the most of this opportunity. I'm going to leave this place. So I want us just for a moment, if there's something you need to leave that you feel moved about, I don't want to, because everyone has something to leave, but if there's something to leave and you feel moved by that, like, yeah, I need some help with that thing. As an act of faith, I think it would be good for us, helpful for us. And this isn't the magic form, but I think it would be helpful is if in a moment we made a choice to say, you know what, I'm going to step out and I'm going to leave that way of life and that thing, and I'm going to come forward. And I'm just going to present myself before the Lord. And I want prayer. I'm just going to come before Him. And I think there's a big banner over here that says, all are welcome. And if you're the one who says, you know what, I just got to respond to God tonight because I'm so thankful. I'm in a good place. The key to staying in the good place is be filled with thankfulness. Be filled with that. Because it came from Him no matter. Wow, what's He going to do? Let's just lift our hands. Lord, thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Oh, Lord, You welcome us with love. All are welcome tonight. No matter what yesterday was like, no matter what last night or last week or last month or last year, all are welcome. And You want us. You want us. You know, the other thing about, and I'm going to call us forward in just a moment for prayer to leave some things, but the other thing is this Elijah thing stays in my mind, that some people are stressed out of their minds. We've lost perspective. Whether it's a work thing, whether we've just lost perspective. He's still bigger than Jezebel. He's still bigger. And to have that new perspective this weekend, you'll go back to work and the same giant will be real small. Real small. And you'll have a smile on your face, although you're facing the same giant. Watch. Watch, it'll happen. So I think that's the other call just to make. Is those who say, there's something you want to leave and step across. Or there's a perspective. You're just wiped out. And you need Him to come and talk to you. So let's just do that. Lord, we just come. That's you. I don't know how you do it here. Do you just come forward? You want to come forward and spend some time before the Lord. We've got the team that'll pray for everyone. And I think we should sing and we should respond. But you know, let's just do that. Let's just do that. Let's just come. If that's you, you have something. You're making a statement. I'm going to leave this place. Lord, I need some help. Or you need perspective and just an encounter with His presence. Everyone just say this. Say, Jesus, I need You. Forgive me for turning to old ways that don't work. And teach me the new way to do life. I receive that. Walk with me. Wash me. Renew me. Change my perspective. You're bigger than my problems. You're bigger than my anxieties. And You know me by name. So I receive Your presence tonight because You want to be with me. So Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Jesus Christ, wash me clean. Fill me again, Lord, so I can serve You and live this new way of life. I leave this place behind. And I step forward with You. Receive me now in Jesus' name. Let's sing. And if you want to come and you want to make that statement, then let's just fill this place up here and let people minister to you and allow the Lord to touch you. He will meet us. Amen? Let's sing. Let's sing. Go ahead. And then you guys come.
Come away.
Let's do that. Don't be afraid. Let's just come. Let's present ourselves before the Lord. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be afraid. Let's just talk to Him. Let's connect to Him. Just hang out with the Lord. Let's get the prayer team and friends coming up and joining our brothers and sisters. Just come. Just come. Give me perspective. We're leaving. Lord, we cross the threshold of the door. All are welcome here. All are welcome here. Confirm your covenant with your glory coming down. I see that. The glory of the Lord. He's the Lamb of God that washes us. And He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. The Lamb cleanses. And the Spirit fills. Oh God. Touch us. Touch us, Lord. Just come. Just come. Let's spend this time, even in your seat. Tell Him. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we leave those things. Leave those things. Seek you, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's gonna be full.
The team's up here to minister to you. So just feel free to come. It's gonna be good.
Open up your
Thank you, Lord.
It's not too late. It's not. belong to you, I belong to you. Show me your glory. 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 I long to look on the face of the one that I love, long to stay in your presence where I belong. I long to look on the face of the one that I love, long to stay in your presence where I in your presence where I belong.
I love how God just really speaks very clearly to us and kind of speaks into our theme. And if you've noticed already, the flavor this year, you know, God always does a new thing. It's a little different. It's not going to be a big rah-rah retreat that we typically have in the past. It's going to be very, very different. You're going to really experience the love and the gentleness of God like you've never experienced before. And it's going to, I think it's going to have the same effect. I think rah-rah is going to come out of us. But really, it's just continue experiencing that love in our hearts. And just from the messages that are going to come through Tom and Brian, yeah, you're going to really receive a lot. And just continue to be open. Right? Just continue to go before the Lord and say, God, Lord, I just want to meet with you. Right? And as we close our service today, let's just sing this together as a prayer once again as we lead into our retreat here. God, I just want to meet with you. So, Lord, just come and meet with me, God.
You
God, that's our heart, God. That's our earnest prayer. God, come and meet with us, Lord. God, we're here, God. We're gathering together, Lord. We're going to China together, God, to find you, Lord. But like Tom told us today, God, Lord, you're not that hard to find. In fact, you're looking for us, God. And so, Lord, we're here. God, I'm standing right here. We're all here in this place, God. Lord, come and do what you do, Lord. And just love us, God. And we thank you, Father. We seal the word. And we thank you, God, for Tom's ministry, Lord, and just the way he's able to articulate, God, the things that we're feeling in our hearts, Lord. I seal that word by the Holy Spirit. Lord, now do your work, Spirit of God, and just churn that into our spirit, God, and make it grow and live, that we can be transformed, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Give us good rest tonight. Lord, as we get excited to meet with you, God, for the next few days, together in community. We're so privileged, Lord. And so we bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord, huh?